Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, to be gathered amongst the believers. Lord, sometimes I think we don't realize, Lord, just how much it really means. Lord, it means so much to come together, to feel the love from one another. Lord, to feel the faith from one another, Lord. Lord, to draw strength, Lord, from you, Lord, and through your people. Lord, I pray, God, bless them tonight. I pray that you'll anoint me, Father, and guide me through this thought that you've placed on my heart. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, are you glad I'm back? Well, one clap dance. He's really glad I'm back. Turn with me in the book of Revelations, chapter 20. I want to read from verses 11 through 15. And what I want to speak on tonight is the judgment. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You may be seated. I remember when I was a young boy, when I'd hear somebody preach about the white throne judgment, it would scare me to death. And as I you know, not knowing, I guess, so much, but actually to being, when I was young, our first message church we ever attended taught us under legalism. And so living under that legalistic way that they had it set forth, where you never felt like you were good enough. You never felt like you'd be good enough to make it. And I never felt like, and you say, well, you were young. Well, I can also tell you how I felt when I went back to church there when I got older. And I was a teenager and went back there to church. It was the same thing. And I don't guess I knew much more than what I'd know before we left. But, you know, but living under that, and it was like every Sunday night I was repenting at the altar. And I'd think, can I just stop and do better for this next week? Maybe I won't do nothing wrong. You know, maybe I won't do nothing wrong this next week. But I was destined, I guess, to do something wrong, or at least that's how it felt. But I read the scripture tonight, and though it's a solemn scripture, and it should be read, and we should approach it with very sober mind and thought, because Moses says our life is as a book. He says that it's in the Psalms. Psalms 90 of Moses said, our life is like a tale that is told. It's like a book. And when it says plural, the books will be opened, and another book, which is a book of life. And I've preached before about how the book of life, when the Lamb took it, it became the Lamb's book of life. And there, I know when I was young, there was different ideologies of the Lamb's Book of Life and the Book of Life and so on, but the Book of Life became the Lamb's Book of Life when he took it from him who sat on the throne. It's just that simple. But it says the books were opened according to their works. And Moses is saying our life is like a book. In other words, it's a tale that is told. Everything we do is wrote down. Everybody's got their own book. And your life is wrote in there. Everything that we ever done, both bad and good, is all written in there. And everyone is like that. And it says those books are going to be opened. And they'll be judged out of their book according to the works that was recorded therein. And you know, once we get to this point, the great white throne judgment, whatever's in the books is in the books. Nothing can be changed then. If there's going to be any changing to your book, it's got to be now. If your book's going to be washed with the blood, it's going to have to be washed with the blood now. Amen. So that when we stand before God, or in that day of the white throne judgment, everyone's going to be there. Both the saved and those the bride, and those from the Old Testament and the New Testament bride, and all the different saints are going to be there, as well as the Bible says all the dead that were in the sea and all the dead that were in the earth and all the dead that were in hell. They're going to give up. All the dead will come forth in that final resurrection. Now there's a resurrection before that, and it's the resurrection of the saints. That's the resurrection we're looking forward to. I don't want to be part of that second resurrection. I want to be part of the first resurrection. I know that there'll be some of us, the scripture tells us, that will be alive when that happens in the resurrection. But there is a way that we will take our part as well. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5. I want to read verses 10 and 11. Now, many of these things you've heard me preach before, but they're just in different messages, but they're so good I can't leave them out. Verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." All has to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And the dead that are rise in that second resurrection, they're going to stand there in the very bodies that they went that they'd had when they were on earth. Whatever age they were when they died, that'll be the age they are when they resurrect. However that body was right before the last breath of death left it, that's how it's going to be when they resurrect. And all the things that they ever did, all the sin they ever committed in that body, they'll be standing there in the very body that they done their works in. We go back up to the first part of this chapter. Verse 1 said, "For we know if our earthly house, those tabernacle, were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality would be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the self same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we always are always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in this body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. So the difference between the dead that's going to come up in that second resurrection and those that come up in the first resurrection and the bride that is alive and remain, there's going to be a body change. We can read about that in 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I show you a great mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. It's verse 51. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's pretty quick. How quick will we be changed after they resurrect? In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Very quickly. We're not going to be standing around saying, oh, come on. You're not going to have to figure out how to do it. It'll just be because what's on the inside will finally manifest itself to the outside. The last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall raise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must be put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall be put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? So on that day, when all are standing there, as it says in 2 Corinthians, you won't be standing there in this body. This is a body that committed all wrong as well as any good. But that's going to be stricken from your book. Washed clean. They'll turn to those pages and the blood will have made them white as snow. That book, your book, is going to be a glorious book. Without spot or without wrinkle. That's what the scripture says. I'll present it unto myself a glorious church. It's going to be a glorious, your book will be a glorious book, because all the sin that had been done by you will have been erased by the blood that was shed on Calvary. That's why he died. Many times Satan comes and he's beating us over the head for all of our wrongs and our mistakes. I'm going to tell you something. That's why he died. It's why he made an unconditional covenant with Abraham. And that we have an unconditional covenant with him. It's not if we do good or we never make any mistakes. He died that I will make it through this life to reach that stage to become changed. That's why he died. And he died for me. He died for you. And the very one that died for you is the one that's going to be holding the books. Huh? That's right. Praise God. I'm glad I won't be standing there in this body. This is a miserable pest house. I can't wait. You know, all this takes place after the millennium. What I've been talking about. All this takes place after the millennium. As far as the white throne judgment and so forth. But I can't wait. Friends, I'm looking forward to the rapture, but I got to tell you something. I'm looking forward to the millennium too. I'm looking forward to be able to live, Brother Phil, while Satan is bound. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that my life will be torment to him. He's tormented me so much in this life. I want every day that I breathe in the millennium to be torment to the devil. You say we're not supposed to have a vengeful heart. God has said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But I tell you, I kind of feel like Brother Donnie Reagan when he said, when he kicks him into the pit, I want to be standing there. I want one of the foots that kicks him to be mine. Oh, brother and sister, that's going to be a glorious day. I don't look at this time of the judgment anymore with such dread. After that millennium, after the white throne judgment, then the Bible says we'll be caught back up and he'll burn the earth with fire and he'll burn and it'll consume the heavens, the atmosphere. And he'll make a new heavens and a new earth. Hallelujah. Look, I don't know. People talk about global warming and all that. And I, to be honest with you, I don't know whether it's true or not. And I don't take a political stand on it. I know that a lot of things have changed. A lot of things in weather has changed. I know that. And I know there's been damage done by man. I do believe that. How much or to what extent in the atmosphere, I don't know. But outer space has become a garbage can to man. They send those rockets up there the way they did back in the 70s, and they got those pieces that fell off. They're up there just hanging out in space. Satellites that they no longer use. Anything they've discarded from the, like when the space shuttle went up and so forth, and that, all that's going to be gone. Can you imagine a fire? You know, they say that in the space, that it burns different. But I can tell you this, it's going to be with such an intensity that it'll consume the atmosphere. And then God said he'll create a new one. And the Bible says that God shall wipe away all the tears from our eyes. Because I'll tell you something, friends. The Bible says that we have passed. Once we have heard the word and believe on him that sent Jesus, then it says we have everlasting life and not to come into the condemnation and have passed from death unto life. So at that white throne judgment, you're not going to be judged there. Because you've already been judged here. The prophet said, judgment begins at the house of the Lord. This is our judgment now. Hallelujah. When we mess up, this is when we want to know about it and get it right. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you something, friends. I'm not worried about pointing out your mess ups or what you've done wrong or all that. I'm concerned with getting myself right. I want to be right. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. My mind's not going to be busy saying, oh, what did this one do? Oh, what did that one do? Oh, this is some juicy stuff to tell over here. No. I want to get myself right. I want to be judged now in the house of God. Hallelujah. I know sometimes people say messages in the past I've preached that, well, it burned their hides and all this. Don't think yours is the only hides that get scorched. Mine does too. So does Brother Phil's. Sometimes it gets scorched while we're in with one that's in the pulpit. The Lord will give you something to say and you'll say, oh Lord, I don't even think I'm measuring it up to that. And he'll say it anyway. Because then it means you got to measure up to it. Just like you're preaching it out. Hallelujah. All the tears. Because when we stand there on that day, friends, all those that have not received eternal life are going to stand there in the bodies that they committed their sin in. And some of them are going to be our relatives from back on earth. And when they come up before that white throne judgment, you say, well, what if that's my son? What if that's my daughter? What if that's, you know, mom or dad or whoever? That's why he's going to wipe the tears away from our eyes. Wipe all the tears away from our eyes. And it said, and there shall be no more death. No more death. Hallelujah. Neither sorrow. I'll tell you what. I'm looking forward to a time when there's no sorrow. No death. To where we grieve and sorrow after someone. That'll never be again. Those that have, we've had loved ones that have passed on and we still in our hearts yet today still sorrow for them. We still miss them. When I was on my visit in West Virginia, get around some of my relatives and when you get to those, the cousins that were older, they all remembered my grandfather Brown and we would reminisce about him. The younger ones didn't really know him. Some of them were so little when he passed away, he had no remembrance. But you get to talking about them. And you get to thinking about it. And you get to missing them. You think about what they meant to you in your life. And I know we've got people here that have lost loved ones. I know that. And yet today you still grieve over it. But there's coming a day when those that you have grieved over, you're going to be reunited with them. And you'll never have to ever experience that again. No more death, no more sorrow. And it goes on to say, no crying. Hmm.
no more. You will never shed a tear in sorrow again. There'll never be another tear shed in sadness or heaviness of heart. Whew. Hallelujah. And it goes on to say, neither shall there be any more pain. Hallelujah. Brother Jim was out there in the back real quick, and he was saying, I asked him how he's doing. He said, good. He said, I'm getting older. My joints don't work like they used to. Well, all that pain's going to be gone. There won't be no old age. There won't be no deterioration of this body or its joints. Say, what are we going to do all that time? Who cares?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I don't care what we're doing. I just want to be there and be part of it. People try to speculate how we'll be. Sorry about that.
Something right with
him. Thought I had that turned off. No more pain. I think of the many different ones in here that experience back pain. I tell you, that's horrible. Especially when it gets you where you feel like you can't even stand up and walk right. And then it'll get you so bad to where one of these days you end up in the floor and can't walk at all. There won't be no more pain like that. Arthritis pain that just is so irritating. And just so seeming like at times so constant, won't be no more. No more pain. Buddy, that's better than Tylenol. No more pain. For the former things are passed away. All the former things we passed away. This is a new heaven and new earth. All those former will be passed away. Friends, I'm not afraid of the judgment. My only sad thought about the judgment is that if I might have relatives of mine that will be standing out there to be judged by according to what's in their books. Because they didn't accept him as their Savior. They didn't accept the blood of Jesus to wash away their sins. And it won't matter. I'll tell you this. There's people that believe that just live a good moral life. You know, I've got relatives that way. Just live a good moral life, you know. Don't partake of any of this bad stuff of the world. And, you know, and don't go to jail or, you know, don't commit any break any laws, you know, and just live a good moral life, you know, don't run around on your wife or your husband and all, and they think that's good enough. What a shock it's going to be. Because nobody on that day will have, anybody that thinks that way, nobody's going to have to tell them it wasn't good enough. They're going to know. When they stand in the presence of God Almighty, they're going to know it wasn't good enough. Just standing there in his presence. I know that the prophet said that there'll be some that are granted life. The white throne judgment. And he said, they're going to be judged according to their works. He said, but there'll be some of them that's been good to the bride. But the ones that haven't been good to the bride, I don't care if they're related to you, they're going to fry. If they haven't treated the bride right. Can you imagine being in contact, being a person like that that knows this message, knows about this message, but choose the life that walks away from it? Chooses some other life and then just can't hardly stand the people who actually have chose to walk the way of the Lord's despised few. They despise us. It's almost like Saul throwing a javelin at David because God had blessed David and Saul was being troubled. You know, Saul was angry. He really wasn't angry at David. He was angry at God. And he was pouting on God, but he couldn't throw a javelin at God. But he could throw a javelin at whoever God was blessing. That's the way a lot of people are. They're actually angry. They're actually mad at God. It's like I preached a funeral here a few years ago. One of the waitresses down here from the cafe had died. And when I went in and the family went to talk to me, they said, now, preacher, don't get up there and start telling us anything about this being God's will or nothing. And I sat there and they talked to me, and I'll tell you what, when I came out of that room, I knew they were angry with God. Why did God take her? I thought, well, they don't want to hear the truth. I don't, I'll tell you this. I don't know where, like I preach a funeral like that. I never stand there and try to say where that person's going to be. God's their judge. But I was talking to somebody right after that funeral. And we went out here to this Sonic out by the interstate. And we were talking. And we thought she would have a lot better chance than some of these people around the message that lives all high and mighty and yet hold grudges and things and talk bad about preachers and all these things. I think she'd have a better chance because at least she was good to us. I don't know where she stands with God. That was just what we were saying, just a speculation, a human speculation. But I still think it's true. Some of the ones that's around this message that say, claim they believe this message, but they're, you know, it's always strange how that they can't have no grace for anybody. But when something comes out on them, then they want grace. I've always been one to give grace because I want grace. Those of you who've known me over the years that I've been here can testify, I have always been full of grace. Why? Because that's what he died for. People will point their finger and say, well, you did this, you did that. That's what he died for. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, it's been good to been here tonight, Lord, and to hear from your word, Father. Pray that it's been encouragement and help to each and every one that was here tonight, Lord. I ask you'll bless them, dear God, as they go on their ways. I ask that you'll bless them, dear God, as they go to work tomorrow. Watch over them, dear God. I pray, dear God, and bring them back safely on Sunday for us to unite as a family of God here, dear God, to hear from your word and to draw fellowship from one another, Lord. We ask this all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Think about his love. Treasure.